the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris, and Gene being a little bit under the weather today, don't let me give you the details. Let's just say that if you hear me participating a little less than Chris, we'll just appreciate Chris's effort, and you'll understand. Or maybe some of you people don't really want to hear from me at all. Maybe I should just be silent. You know, I'm just going to go away and hide somewhere. No, I'm not going to do that. Anyway, seriously, we have received tons of comments about last week's episode with Daryl Sims, the alien hunter. And you know what? If we were taking a Gallup poll, he wouldn't score very high, would he, Chris?
Apparently not. Unfortunately, you know, Daryl did leave some pretty wide open doors that several people have walked through. That whole bit about blowing out a piece of DNA, I really wanted to jump all over that, but
some things you have to just let drop. I mean, when you get stuff like that, I got all these clumps of DNA on the floor. My heavens.
Yeah.
The thick of this DNA. I mean, I'm just immersed in DNA. It's sticking to my fingers. And when I walk over there, my shoes are being covered with the stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know what to say. I think Daryl really means well. He does a lot of pro bono, you know, work for people. He does attempt to help people in a very altruistic kind of way, which I really admire, and I respect him for that. As far as some of the science and other things, there are lots of holes in the presentation, I must say. But again, you know, I've known the guy 20 years, and he's always been a straight shooter with me. And, you know, I guess at some point you really do have to either accept somebody's word at face value or just ignore it, call it into question, what have you. Again, I do think that Daryl is, how would I put this? He's fairly, I think, certain about, I think, a lot of things that he deals with in his work, and whether he's arrived at particular conclusions in a rock-solid way or not is open to interpretation, obviously. But he's fairly convinced of a number of things which were covered in the show. And, you know, I beg to differ with a lot of it. Obviously, the whole hypnotic regression subject, I think, is a real hot potato issue. I don't really think it's as an effective tool as Daryl does and others in the abduction field. But, you know, you got to hand it to the guy. He's really stuck with it, and he's not doing this for, I think, for fame or fortune. I think he truly is trying to help people, and I think he has been a help for people. So I think everything that we want to say about him has to be at least grounded through that.
Well, you know, some of the things that bother me is when he came up with a statement that three people were going to analyze the DNA and kind of sort of backed out. And this is one of the problems we find, that someone claims to have proof positive of something, if we can put it all together, but it never gets put together. And I'm not going to criticize some people. I'm just going to mention them. For example, we have Ted Phillips and Marley Woods. And we had him on several years ago, and he was going to put up this website showing some of his evidence. And the site started to go up and then stopped. And I heard from him recently. He'd like to come on again, and certainly we're happy to have him. But we need more information about this case or this series of cases. And this is what always happens. And this is why the UFO field seems to go just so far and no farther, because the final evidence is never there. Now, back to Daryl Sims for a moment. Now, the last time I talked to him was actually almost 7 years ago when we had him on the Paracast for 1 hour. And he seemed okay, a little wacky as he did this time. And I did a little opposition research before the episode to see just what information I could find if you look up information that's unfavorable about him. Now, I realize people look up information that's unfavorable about everybody, and there's not a lot of bad stuff about him. The only thing I really found that was consistent was the fact that he had this falling out with Dr. Roger Lear over the matter of some of those implants. He claims that Lear took the implants. I don't know. I wasn't there. And certainly we should ask Dr. Lear if we have him on again. Possibly we will in the near future. That was about it. Now, maybe people think that what his theories state is so wacky that it's not worth opposition research. It's not worth tearing them apart. They stand and fall on the basis of their credibility. And maybe that's part of it. Because I know that when we booked him on the show, we had an avalanche of questions. We never got to all of them from listeners who questioned him. Oh, this guy's going to be a wacky person. And I took kind of a down-the-middle approach in questioning him myself, which was to ask him some hard questions, let him sink himself, if that's what he's going to do, or acquit himself. But you see, from the listeners, their viewpoint did not change that much from before the episode until after the episode.
Right.
So there you go.
Yeah, again, I haven't really been following his work as closely as I did back in the mid-90s. I must say that when he pulled out this jewelry box with all the little compartments in it, and each compartment had what was alleged to be alien implants, or probably about 30 of them at that point, I kind of had to scratch my head and go, well, geez, that just looks like a piece of glass. That looks like a tiny finishing nail. That looks like a calcified, maybe piece of bone or tissue or something. I didn't see anything that that appeared to me just on the surface to be something high strange. So, you know, and we didn't get into the whole, I think he did, didn't he do the it was either the Jon Stewart or the Colbert Report on Comedy Central. And he, you know, he kind of played along with the jokes and everything, but it really made him come across looking quite foolish. And I wanted to ask him about how he felt that whole show and his portrayal, how he felt about that. But maybe when he comes on in the future at some point, we'll get a chance to ask him, because I was aghast. I just thought to myself, oh, boy. If it had been me, I wouldn't have said yes and gotten involved with an obvious comedy scenario. So they did actually, in 98, when they were first getting started, in 99, they did contact me early on, and I politely declined. So
tell that to Nancy Pelosi. She was on one of those shows, and I gather she did very badly. You have to know to go with the flow and go with the joke and have to have fun. You have to laugh with them. Don't let them laugh at you.
Well, Daryl did that, but they really, he did not come across, I think, in a way that he was hoping, or he was, I'm sure he was a little bit taken aback from some of the things that they were saying and everything. But what can you do? Like you said, you have to go with the flow sometimes. So we'll just have him back, and we'll get a chance to get more insight into his process and his methodologies and other cases. He has helped a lot of people. I think he mentioned the number 1500 at one point. That's a lot of people to interview and to attempt to help. So I mean, that you got to hand it to him, at least in that regard.
How many people has he hypnotized, or does he hypnotize people?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he. I know he does have some hypnosis training. That's a good question for next time.
Yes, because we have all the concerns voiced about that. And also somebody who clearly has a belief system. It's so easy for them to consciously or subconsciously manipulate the questioning. And this was a point that we raised, and I want to get to in our next segment before we go into some of our questions from listeners. We're doing a Shop Talk episode with Gene and Chris in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, Tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number two, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at utopiasilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from utopiasilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit utopiasilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the patriots at utopiasilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. utopiasilver.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
On the Paracast, Gene and Chris are talking shop, and we're talking about the aftermath of Daryl Sims' appearance on the Paracast last week. He is the alien hunter. And speaking of appearances, the Paracast is now being streamed over the IRN Internet Radio Network. Of course, we're on GCN. We're on Boost. That makes three networks that we're on right now.
Well,
a lot more people are joining up in the forums. You noticed that this week.
Yeah.
A lot more participation. Huge. I haven't been in the forums that much because I've been ill. But that's how it goes. Okay. Point we mentioned here, and he mentioned it too, Sims, is that a lot of times the cases handled by researchers seem to reflect their point of view. So, for example, Dr. David Jacobs is dealing with alien hybrids, and he believes that millions of people have possibly been subjected to alien abductions, and therefore the cases he tends to bring out tend to reflect that point of view. Not that it's not genuine, understand, but it seems that we attract what we want to believe or investigate.
Yeah. Yeah, I did ask that question. I don't really remember him answering it very directly.
It is an interesting aspect of the UFO field in general, the fact that the field has this reflective attitude. This is something I remember reading from John Keel back in, the 60s and 70s.
Right.
He said, to run is an invitation to be chased. So the phenomenon runs after you. You try to run away. That may not be the best idea.
Right. Good analogy.
Indeed. We have loads and loads and loads. Did I say loads?
You said loads.
Okay. From our listeners, questions in anticipation of this episode, we only announced it one day in advance. Okay? But we do this every few months to kind of give listeners a chance to question us and also talk about issues of the day in the paranormal field. And we got loads and loads of questions like, did I say loads?
You said loads.
More than ever. And I think it's partly because we have additional listeners now who are joining us. So, Chris, let's start with a few questions and see where it takes us.
Okay. I mean, there's, like you said, quite a number of them, so we'll try to get to as many as we can. The first one comes from Steve C., who jumped right in within minutes of posting the question bank thread. And he would like to have us discuss the friendship UFO tall white alien case out of Chile in 1984 and the Colares, Brazil Chupa UFO cases from the late 70s. And what do you think of the friendship UFO case? I'm not really that familiar with it, are you?
No, I'm not.
I can't help you there, Steve, on that one. I'll have to do a little research myself to get up to speed. Now, I do know about the Colares, Brazil UFO flap at the mouth of the Amazon. I do, based on Bob Pratt's book, the work of Jacques Vallée and a chapter that he wrote in his book Confrontations, I think it's been fairly well established that the hunters who were waiting in trees at night for game to go by and then were hit with some sort of particle beam, like, I guess I would call it a weapon, from these flying refrigerator-sized glowing white objects that they called chupas. I do think that there is evidence, fairly good, substantial evidence, that these people were hit by something high strange. There's photographs, autopsy reports. I just off the top of my head, I do seem to recall a nurse who was involved with quite a number of these victims, and that it was covered fairly extensively in the newspapers. Of course, A.J. Gavard has done quite a bit of work on these cases and I think interviewed several of the principals. So I really do have a sense that that case is one of our best cases to demonstrate that Stephen Greer doesn't know what he's talking about when he says that all UFOs and their occupants are benevolent and we shouldn't be wary of them or be in a place of fear even. This runs totally counter to that particular opinion, and it's not the only case. There have been other cases, too, where people seem to have been attacked or physically hurt, whether by design or inadvertently, from UFOs and the, you know, the apparent occupants. What do you think about Colares? Have you done any study on that?
Not studied specifically. I'm aware of it. But you look here at all the cases that show possible disinterest or hostility on the part of UFOs. I think any UFO abduction is a hostile act. It's invasive. It's kidnapping. I mean, if I came to your house at night and I pulled you out of bed and dragged you into a spaceship and did physical examinations, that's a nice thing to do? How can anyone say that an abduction is a benevolent or friendly act? It's not friendly.
Well, on the surface, yeah, you could make the argument that possibly it's being done for our good. It's like animals being tagged in the wild by humans, being studied. possibly there's some sort of medical work that's being done. Now, all these are just obviously just what-if scenarios, but I think the whole idea that that Greer, for instance, promotes is that all abductions are done by the U.S. government, that they're all, what do they call them, my labs or something, military abductions. Again, I just you can't just take a one-size-fits-all approach and answer these types of questions with one blanket statement or one answer. It just doesn't work. So I agree with you that the abduction phenomenon, aspects of it are horrific, and people are traumatized. So anyway, that's kind of where I come down on that. I do think the Kolaris case is a very, very good example of the potential for harm. The cattle mutilation phenomenon, for instance, if it does have some sort of off-planet extraterrestrial involvement, which I personally think is one of the least likely scenarios. But on the surface, I mean, if you're a rancher and your herd is targeted, I mean, that's not a benevolent act, and it does have the appearance of something very horrific and very negative. So, you know, we really have to temper our enthusiasm and our want to believe or want it to be all positive. I think that's just not, it's not an effective answer or an approach to the whole scenario.
Well, there could be different interests involved. Even assuming ET is involved, it's alien. Could be more than one race, or it could be more than one faction or country or whatever of a particular race of people. They have different interests, different concerns. And as you said, with abductions, they may not even regard us as intelligent beings worthy of any respect at all. So if what they do is harmful, they just don't care. So I can't go along with Greer. There's always too many exceptions. With Gene and Chris talking shop, you're in
the Paracast.
Largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's Fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Question: could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer: yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganics.com, spelled Terriganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terriganics. Life's getting better.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we're doing a Talk Shop episode, and we're answering your questions. I tell you right now, in the last few weeks, as our listeners have increased, we've gotten more and more questions, and it gets more and more difficult to answer everyone, but we're going to do our level best. There are tons of questions we're going to try to get through. Some of them we can just say, I don't know, and go to the next one. Chris?
Well, the last question that Steve C. is posing here is about Bill Burns and how he could let UFO Magazine go under because of default when he's a publisher and an attorney by trade. I'm going to have to let Gene kind of go with that one, because I really am not familiar with the whole scenario that's surrounding the demise of UFO Magazine. What do you think?
Well, okay. So we have this company, this individual, whoever, buys UFO Magazine from Don and Vicki Ecker. And Bill and Nancy Burns are given the task of being publishers. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time with this. There are too many questions to deal with. But evidently, the publisher of UFO Magazine, the owner, notified Bill and Nancy Burns, we're going to sell it. You no longer have a license to publish. So that's it. I guess they're going to be doing something else. I don't know whether it has a paranormal bent or not. But understand, for the past couple of years, UFO Magazine has appeared with less and less frequency. They tried to go all digital some months back, I think, with one issue. And I know if I owned a magazine, and I don't know the reasons behind this, so I'm not going to blame Bill and Nancy Burns about anything. But if I didn't see the magazine prospering, if I didn't see regular publication, I'd say, you know, this is not working out. I'll sell it. That's it. The thing that bothers me is that nobody will identify the publisher. And we looked it up. And someone connected with the motion picture industry, it's registered as the one who filed for the corporation, UFO Magazine Incorporated. But why would a motion picture company or a motion picture producer or packager buy a UFO magazine? It doesn't make sense to me. In any case, I did write to Bill Burns, and he did indicate once the dust settled, maybe later this year, he would be willing to come on and tell us the story. So there you go. For now, UFO Magazine is history. I guess if someone has the money to invest and wants to buy UFO Magazine, there you go. I mean, we've heard pros and cons about the current content, but there's a great history, a very solid material from Don and Vicki Acker, and I'd like to see that preserved.
Yeah, I guess the best place to go would be the horse. And let the horse speak for itself on this one. Again, I've just been saddened by the way it's gone downhill over the past years since Don and Vicki gave it up. It's just filled with too many columns, not enough quality stories. The investigative aspect of it has totally disappeared. There's a lot of new agey kind of frou-frou stuff now, and I just don't think – I think it's apples and oranges. Fate magazine would be a good example of one publication that's managed to kind of ride the fence on the content. But UFO magazine should be about UFOs, and it should be more nuts and bolts, in my opinion, like it was back in the 90s.
Well, I do know of one example, which I won't mention here because there's too much controversy, where they actually tried to become like a National Enquirer and take a gossipy approach to one case involving a problem that one particular investigator had with his subjects. I won't mention it here because every time Chris or I say one or two words about it, mentioning names, someone will write like hundreds of thousands of words about it. So, okay, let's see what happens with UFO Magazine. My opinion is, based on the history of any UFO publication, once they're gone, they're gone. Let's move on.
Okay, Technomaget has six questions here, and he is a fairly new addition to the forum.paracast.com family. And his first question is a good one, and I'll attempt to answer it, and then I'll throw it over to you, Gene. Why are researchers not eager to share their data? I've heard this from Ted Phillips, Ray Stanford, Daryl Sims, Roger Lear, and several others. It seems like they're going about it the wrong way, and progress won't be made if they're the only ones who have the evidence. Well, don't want to sound like a broken record here, but let's go down the list. Ted Phillips is under a non-disclosure agreement and cannot disclose because of the funding source. It has a muzzle on him. Ray Stanford doesn't care if people know. He's still busy getting his data together. It will be presented to the scientific and academic communities before it is public, made public. We just heard from Daryl Sims, and we heard his take on some of the things he's working on. I think Daryl is fairly transparent. You know, people, you got to understand, you can't present all this stuff out into the public realm and expect any sort of real serious scientific scrutiny. I think the Melba Ketchum fiasco is a perfect illustration of what happens when important information of a scientific nature is not properly handled and released in a way that is acceptable to the scientific and academic communities. Dr. Roger Lear, I really don't know too much about what he has pending. I remember he made quite an amazing statement about 5-6 years ago at the X conference about an implant that was transmitting, and he said, we're going to hear all about this very soon, and I've never heard a word about it.
Isn't that the way it always is, though? Someone says, you're going to hear about this soon. There's going to be disclosure. We're going to reveal the information that will knock your socks off.
Yeah.
And the socks aren't knocked off because none of it ever happens. It gets back to what I was saying earlier. Even with Daryl Sims, he's got DNA evidence, but the three scientists who are going to analyze it, well, they pulled out.
Right. Well, in the case of Ray Stanford, he has shown his evidence to some very, very highly placed individuals in the scientific community. And I'm not allowed to share names, but believe me, we're talking about some heavy hitters, and word is getting around about Ray's work, and more scientists and others are getting in contact with him and getting personal presentations of aspects of his work. His work is voluminous, so it could take literally a week to get through it all, and that's a week of full days, too. I spent 14 hours, and I wasn't able to get through the latest additions to his data and his analysis. I don't think that people are necessarily going about these you know, these processes the wrong way as it's being couched here. It's like there's need to know issues here in some regard. Now, if it comes to some layperson that has some great footage, that's one thing. If it comes to anything anecdotal, I mean, you know, more power to the person to get the word out about it. But when it comes to physical evidence and analyzing data, it has to be done properly, and you just can't go off nilly-willy and spread this stuff all over to titillate people in the public that may not really have a need to know. So, you know, you just have to let these people go about it at their own pace, hope that they come up with something, and give them encouragement instead of dogging them. Give them encouragement. If you're interested in a person's work, contact them privately. I think taking pot shots publicly against these people just exacerbates the problem and makes them more reticent not to come out with their information.
Maybe so, but we still have that problem, which is that we have people who claim to have very serious evidence demonstrating UFOs are real in some respect, but we never see the evidence. And the problem is traditional science is going to say put up or shut up. You've got to give them a reason, because very few scientists get that reason, to go out on the limb and make an effort to find out what's really going on. Yeah. So I understand there could be legitimate reasons, and I respect the fact that you have seen things that Ray Stanford has done, but someday it's got to come out, otherwise it's going to go nowhere.
Yeah.
Gene and Chris are talking shop and answering your questions. You're in
the Paracast.
A little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the Earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Hey everyone, have you heard about the no-no hair removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for no-no hair removal.
Thanks. Hey gals, I love talking about my no-no. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No-no has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the no-no, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible no-no hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-6062. That's 800-953-6062. 800-953-6062.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations, or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. but this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gina and Chris in the Paracast, we're talking shop. And I mentioned people like Ray Stanford, who's a very sincere guy. His more traditional scientific work has been praised. Washington Post written about him. But he has kept his stuff close to the vest. People with a need to know or under NDA take a look at it, like Chris. Chris, you've seen his evidence. You've been impressed by it. But we're reaching a dead end here. When is somebody, among all these people, when is somebody going to release something that's so compelling we can't dismiss it? Because otherwise the field goes nowhere if it's just going to be, well, a bunch of private researchers who accumulate evidence and they stick it in a lockbox. How does that advance the UFO field?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. And unfortunately, in the case of, let's say, Ted Phillips, you have someone that has a muzzle on because of he's beholden to the funders of his particular surveillance project out there. So it's really difficult. I have been trying my darndest, and with gentle reminders, with you know, trying to bait him, trying to goad him. Ray Stanford he's slow, methodical, and when he's ready to present his work, he will probably do it in some sort of scientific forum. So, you know, I'm frustrated, probably more so than most people when it comes to Ray. The other individuals that were mentioned, you know, they all have their various reasons, and, you know, we're just going to have to be patient. Another question he has about Ted Phillips is the cave in the Balkans that contains some kind of alien technology. He's wondering if that's ever been found. Well, correct me if I'm wrong. I do believe that they know where it is. It's a question of whether it has been excavated or has been analyzed. Again, some very important letters are in the APRO files that were written by the Czechoslovakian captain, if memory serves me correct, to APRO. And, you know, that's one of the things that Ted is really wanting to get his hands on is some of the correspondence from that Czech captain to Hynek, which is in the APRO files. That's something else that we can ask Ted about when we have him on. Here's one for you, Gene. What are your opinions on the moon landings? I heard someone say that the first moon landing couldn't have happened, but others did happen. He mentions the wrong door size on the LM or problems with spacesuits. He says, I haven't researched this, so I'm assuming we landed on the moon, but I'd like to know your opinions on this. Now, didn't the Chinese claim that they actually photographed the Tranquility Bay and they actually saw the tracks or one of the landing sites, they saw the tracks from the astronauts on the recent Chinese flyby?
I recall something to that effect. At this point, you know, no matter what major event happens, there is a conspiracy theory about it. So I know there are people even in our forums who will tell you the moon landing didn't occur. Now, I was around when it did, and I don't remember anything about it that seemed incredible. What's incredible to me is that after the initial moon landing program ended, our space program essentially died. We can give more conspiracy theories. But it's true with any one of these things. You know, 9/11 wasn't what we thought. It was a false flag. It was generated by our government or allowed to happen because the Bush administration got, what, 55 warnings about things but didn't connect the dots. There are a lot of things you could say, hindsight being better than foresight, about why things happened. There are a lot of things, but it doesn't mean that there was a conspiracy that we brought down a building. Why'd we do that? It seems like everything has a conspiracy. Like, for example, Apple fixed a serious bug with SSL verification. SSL, of course, is like you go to a company website or use secure email, and you have this connection, secure sockets layer connection, a secure connection. And in the recent Apple software for iPhone, iPad, Mac, there was a defect, like an extra line of code. That's all it was. But it made the verification not work. And that could have caused problems because people could have pulled some stuff. The stuff didn't happen, and we got one guy out there saying, well, Apple knew about this, and they never fixed it until whatever they decided to fix it. Why would they allow that to happen? Where's the motive? Why does a company want to injure somebody? Which this could have done, because if anyone knew how to exploit it, they could steal your bank accounts, all sorts of things. Again, a conspiracy. But a conspiracy has to have a motive, has to have a reason, has to have evidence.
Yeah. I agree. And I do think we went to the moon. I think possibly some of the photographs and footage may have been pre-shot in case they needed to use it. That's always been a curious possibility in my mind, because there are some interesting anomalies in the photographs that can't be explained if you've ever done your research into this subject. Of course, Don Ecker has, and he would be a really good person to bounce that particular question off of. We got to move on here. Are there any alien abduction reports today, or are they done with this type of interaction with us? Well, I wouldn't know how to answer that. It seems like it's kind of fallen off the map quite a bit in the last 5 or 6 years, but up to 10 years almost. I mean, since the late 90s, it seems to really have fallen out of the spotlight in terms of a subject matter in the public's in the public realm. I have only had, as I mentioned, I think before, 3 or 4 abduction claims in all the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases that I've been exposed to, mostly from Colorado. So I am not the person to really check with on that. I do see a real deadening of interest in it, though. It seems to have really kind of fallen off the map. What do you think, Gene?
You're right. We seem to always be talking about classic abduction cases, but not so much about recent ones. Not that there aren't recent cases. Now, a few years back, we featured a guest named Doug. And I know his real name. And he was working with the late Bud Hopkins at the time. And he had some pretty frightening experiences that seemed to extend to a more recent time frame. So I guess they're happening. But, you know, maybe people would rather not talk about them anymore.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to deal with.
Daryl did seem to have some fairly current cases, so evidently they're still going on. But I don't think it's really kind of captured and become part of the zeitgeist here in the second decade of the 21st century. I just don't see it. Another question here is, Chris, what did the aliens you saw look like? Well, number one, I never said they were aliens. I just said they were non-human. I did a complete description of this in the November 29th, 2009 show, my first appearance on the Paracast as a guest. And I gave a full description of these beings that were about my height. I was 7, so they're about 3.5-4 feet tall. They all carried identical. There were 3, possibly 4 of them. There seemed to be one a little taller in the back that was hiding. I don't recall any features of their faces. They seemed extremely skinny, impossibly so. I called them stick men. And they all were carrying these about 2-foot glittering spears, as I called them. They were like these rods that they had in their hand. Other than that, there's a whole blow-by-blow description of the of the encounter. There was no communication, nothing telepathic. I was not, I had no sleep paralysis. I was totally awake. And all the details were in that November 29, 2009 appearance that I made here at the Paracast. Here's one. What do you think of those Ben Rich comments that he made about we have the technology to take ET home, etc.? Anything you can imagine, we already can do it. There have been a number of comments that have been ascribed to Ben Rich, of course, who was the head of the Skunk Works for Lockheed for many years. Well, we had Jan Harzen, the new director for International MUFON, on. He was in the room and actually tried to get Rich after the presentation to clarify some of the enigmatic comment that he made at the end. Some people have claimed that he was just joking. According to Harzen, he wasn't. So I wasn't there. I can't really give a definitive answer to that. What do you think? Were they jokes, Gene? Were these real comments that he was serious about? Or was this just disinformation?
Well, Harzen is a pretty serious guy. That's the impression I got when we had him on the show. Pretty straight-ahead kind of guy. And I expect that he probably did hear this, but whether or not it was serious, you know, I have no idea. The guy may have been exaggerating. I don't know that much about the fellow's personal history. But this is part of the problem with the UFO field. We get all this stuff, all these tantalizing bits of information, and we never nail it down. It just hangs out there in the wind. Now, it's enough to drive people crazy. I know a lot of people just give up on the UFO field saying it's toxic because you get all the claims and you can't prove them. Gene and Chris are talking shop. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pillup, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pillup. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.